Give us day by day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. But did his prayer, did his instruction on prayer stop with those instructions? Not at all. He went on to tell them the importance of importunate praying. He gave a parable, and a parable is a story cast alongside a spiritual truth that helps us understand. Now, one cannot read our text verses and not come to the conclusion that persistence in prayer, both on our behalf, on the behalf of others, is what the Lord is teaching in this parable. Endurance in prayer is hard, but folks, it is very fruitful as well. I know there are those who do not pray, those who simply go through the motions of prayer, and those whose prayers are hindered because they regard iniquity in their heart. But then there are few who are effectual, fervent, importunate in their prayers, like the friend at midnight that Jesus spoke of. You say, what kind of friend is this guy? He goes to your house at midnight, bangs on your door, wakes up the entire household, gets a dog to barking, causes you to get out of bed to loan him 3 loaves of bread because he has another friend who's hungry and comes to stay with him? You may be thinking, if I was the guy in that house, I would have told him, you know what, you got too many friends. But don't worry, you got one less tonight. Because I'm tired of you knocking on my door and waking up my family. So go away. Well, this guy had a need, did he not? A necessity. It didn't matter to him what time it was. Didn't matter the demand that he was making. He knew his friend had the means to meet his request. And he wasn't leaving until he got what he came for. His friend inside the house, he didn't jump up right away out of bed. He didn't light a candle. He didn't tell the dog to shut up, go to the kitchen and give him 3 loaves. He was quite reluctant, was he not? And even said, trouble me not. The door is shut. The children are asleep. And I'm tired. The guy outside continues his plea. He's in need. And even though he doesn't get what he asked for based on his friendship or need, he just simply stays at it. And because of importunity, he gets all that he needs. Now, when that friend opened up that door at midnight, now, if I was that friend, I would have said, what else you need? Because I want to get back to some sleep. If you need some peanut butter, I'll give you peanut butter. If you need some jelly, I'll give you some jelly. You need some butter, I'll give you some butter. Matter of fact, I'll even give you some ham, even though it's not kosher. I'd give him whatever he wanted. Well, Jesus is telling us that importunity will succeed if one keeps asking, one keeps seeking, and one keeps knocking. You can have your necessity met by importunity, for there are times God is testing us just to see how much that request means to us and how desperate we are to have that need met. Remember when Jesus came down from the Mount of Transfiguration and he was met by a father who had a son possessed of a demon? Matter of fact, the Bible says he was a lunatic, wasn't he? You say, well, what does that have to do with anything? It has to do with the fact that he was a young guy. He was a teenager. And every teenage boy is a lunatic. And he said, Lord, I brought him, this lunatic boy of mine, to the disciples, and they could not cure him. Well, once the Lord rebuked the devil and cast the devil out of the boy, the disciples asked Jesus, why could we not cast him out? And part of our Lord's reply was, howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. Now the point is this. Sometimes we don't get our prayers answered because the answer will only come with the kind of praying with importunity. The disciples, much like us, are not the sharpest marbles in the bag. We don't always lay hold of the truth the first time we hear it. And we need to be reminded of it time and time again. Just 7 chapters later in the book of Luke, Jesus gives another parable illustrating the same truth. For after all, repetition is the key to learning. Look at Luke chapter 18, verse 1 through 8. Notice what it says. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought what? Always to what?
Pray.
And not to what? How many think that means don't give up? Don't fall off by the wayside. Just keep at it, right? Saying there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this woman, widow, troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what this unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he, what? Bear long with them. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth. Now, the key to this parable, like the other one that we looked at, is the importance of persistence and importunity in prayer. Now, this parable starts with Jesus telling us that men ought always what? To pray and not to faint. Now, the word faint describes a believer who loses heart, the one that gets discouraged, and so much so that they want to quit. Jesus knows that we are prone to be faint-hearted in our prayers. We are likely to give up praying if our requests are not answered after a while. Well, there are times when we need to stay in prayer until the answer comes. There are times when we will be in prayer and we make the same request for years and years and years before the answer comes. But either way, God will never weary of us coming before the throne of grace. Matter of fact, he urges us to keep on coming and give him no rest in our requests. This widow is helpless. Helplessness personified. She has no influence with the unjust judge whatsoever. He fears not God, nor does he regard man. Now this judge was supposed to hear the cause of the poor and the oppressed. He was supposed to right the wrongs done unto them, and yet he turns a deaf ear to the widow, for she was too poor to bribe him and too insignificant to be bothered by him. Yet this widow, through her importunity, prevailed. And the unjust judge granted her request and did so for this reason: lest by her continually coming, she weary me. Now I imagine her going to the place where he was trying cases. And there she would be in the courtroom, and she would be in attendance. And she would ask that he would hear her case and about her adversary and what that adversary had done to her. When he told her, I'm busy. I got bigger fish to fry. She would cry out, avenge me of mine adversary. I am petitioning you, your honor, and you have an obligation to uphold the law. So avenge me of mine adversary. Perhaps he has her removed from the court hearing. And as she's being dragged away by the bailiff, she shouts, avenge me of mine adversary, judge. Well, she's thrown out of the courtroom. But then she waits in the parking lot where his chariot awaits for him to be done at the end of the day. And as he makes his way to his ride, there she is. And she says, "Judge, avenge me of mine adversary." He sits down, get his horses going, and kicks up dust with his wheels and heads on home, for he is looking forward to a delicious dinner and a quiet evening at home. Just as he's being served his dinner, there's a knock at the door. So he gets up, wondering who in the world is knocking on my door and interrupting my evening meal. When he opens up, wide the door, there's that widow woman. And she says, "Judge, avenge me of mine adversary." He slams the door in her face, mumbles to himself as he makes his way back to the table to eat. He takes a few bites, and that's it. You see, he lost his appetite because of that bothersome widow. He gets up, goes to his reading room, picks up the daily newspaper, and a piece of paper falls out. And he's hoping, "Man, I hope it's a coupon for buy one, get one free bagel at the deli around the corner." But when he reads it, it says, "Avenge me of mine adversary," and it was signed by the widow. He decided that he would retire early for the night because he had a long day to look forward to tomorrow. So he gets in bed, blows out the candle, lays his head on the pillow, and all of a sudden, stones start hitting the window. And he thinks, it's those juvenile delinquents again. First they knock and run away. Then they set fire to a bag of manure on my front step. And now they're pelting my bedroom windows with stones. Those bothersome brats better stop. And so he opens up the window and he's ready to give them a good tongue lashing when he hears a familiar voice saying, "Avenge me of mine adversaries." He goes back to bed. He can't sleep. He tosses and turns all night long. The widow isn't letting up, won't leave him alone. He gets up early, dresses for the day, eats a hearty breakfast, walks out the front door. Who does he see? He sees the widow. Does she say, "Good morning, Judge"? Does she say, "How you doing today"? No. She cries out, "Avenge me of mine adversary." Now, we are not told how long this went on, but we do know the judge ruled in her favor, and she won her case by her tireless importunity. This widow had no promises from the judge, no family ties to him, or no friend to aid her in pleading her cause. Yet we believers have many prayer promises. We have these two parables to encourage us to pray with importunity. We are sons of God who come before our Heavenly Father, and Jesus is our advocate with the Father who pleads our cause as an attorney who is well acquainted with how things are done in the heavenly court, and he is able to undertake our case. So let's pray on and not faint until our pleas are answered. So then let us earnestly cry, never faint in prayer. God loves our importunity and makes our cause his care. I read a story about a great man of prayer. His name was George Mueller. He ran an orphanage with thousands of kids. Never asked for a dime from anyone, and yet God provided all his needs through prayer. Well, he had four friends, and he prayed for them to get saved. Two of them got saved some decades later while he was still alive. But two of them got saved at his funeral. But one of those friends he had prayed for 50 years. How many here remember Les Reeves? How many remember what his prayer request was? Time and time again, he would bring it up before church. He would pray that his son Earl would get back in church. Over a decade, I would hear him ask in prayer for Earl. You know, he never did see his prayer being answered while he was alive down here. Yet we are blessed that Les's importunate prayer was heard and God answered his request because Earl's been a faithful member after the death of his father. I remember Debbie Garcia praying to hear from her son, had no contact with her for 9 years. But one day the phone rang. She heard his voice and joy flooded her soul. 9 years of praying to hear his voice. I prayed for a man to be saved for 20 years. I led him to the Lord probably about 5 years ago. I've been praying and witnessing to others for years. I also have a prodigal in a far country, and I cannot and will not stop praying for him, for I am determined to always pray for him and not to faint. Many answers to prayer are the results of importunity. And if George Mueller needed to pray 50 years to see a friend saved, I believe I can keep on praying for my son who's in the far country. Have you ever thought about what would have happened to Jacob and his family if he didn't wrestle with God the entire night? Or what would have happened to Esther and her people if they hadn't fasted and prayed for 3 days? Or how exciting it will be when the prayers of the saints that have been in glory up there for thousands of years are realized and they cry out as we cry out, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." I'm telling you, we need to pray. We need to keep on praying. Pray with intensity, urgency, and importunity. For you never know when the answer will come. And always remind yourself, God's delays are not his denials. These two parables speak of their importance of importunity. But in the real life story, the Syrophoenician woman, we see these parables put into action. We read this in Matthew chapter 15, verse 21 through 28. Then Jesus went thence and departed in the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil." She too must have been a teenager. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away, for she crieth after us." But he answered and said, "I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then came she and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered and says, "Not meet to take children's bread and cast it to dogs." And she said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table." Then Jesus answered and said unto her, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Now notice, she had an urgent need, did she not? She pleads with Jesus for his help. And first of all, she's met with silence. She continues. And now the disciples tell Jesus, "Send her away, she's bothering us." He then tells her he's not sent to her kind. But this resilient woman presses on. She worships him, begs for his help, only to be called a dog. And she now simply wants a crumb from the master's table. And Jesus then grants her request because of her persistent importunity. So if she, like my friend I mentioned earlier, only asked one time, would that request have been answered? I'm not saying God won't answer prayers the first time they are asked for, because he does. But some will go unanswered if there is no importunity. Well, importunity is not vain repetitions. It is repetitious prayer with heart and persistence. I have no doubt that much of our praying fails for a lack of persistent importunity. It is the essence of true praying, a key element in being heard and getting our prayers answered. So let's lay hold of this truth. Let's be importunate pleaders who refuse to give up until our petitions are granted. Everyone standing, every head bowed, every eye closed. Importunate praying.